Now, in just over an hour from now, Ireland will take on France at the Aviva Stadium in the Six Nations Rugby Championship. The Ireland captain Johnny Sexton and vice-captain James Ryan are both out of the match because of head injuries they sustained in the game against Wales last week. A neurosurgeon who watched that game, Dr. Willie Stewart, tweeted that there had been more brain injury than tries in the match. Under the rules of the game, players who sustain concussion during games can play again within 7 days if they pass a medical assessment. Well, I've been speaking to Dr. Barry O'Driscoll, the former medical advisor to World Rugby, who stepped down in 2012 in protest against concussion protocols. And I began by asking him what medical or scientific basis there was to suggest that a player could play again 7 days after sustaining a brain injury during a rugby match.
There isn't any at all, Justin, really. And it's a question that they're doing research, really, and finding out as they go along, which, if it happens to your brain, that is the guinea pig, is very, very unfortunate, really. And unfortunately, quite a lot of the damage that is done to a brain is because of the whiplash type of sponge in a bucket shaking backwards and forwards, and it's in the middle of the brain, and we're just scratching the surface. And the damage done may not show for a year or 2 years or 5 years. Therefore, we should be erring just about on the side of caution, and instead of which we're experimenting.
What do we know then about the damage that can be caused by these repeated blows to the head, these repeated brain injuries that occur during rugby matches?
We do now. We have overwhelming statistical evidence that it causes immediate damage, and we all know that from kids at school and from friends and that, who get a knock on the head and they're dizzy a bit and they feel bad that night and they're sick and they've got headaches, and then it's gone and it clears, and then the next grade is that they don't clear, they have these symptoms for several months. The next grade is that they clear at the time. But we've got an increasing number of ex-players with anxiety and depression in their 30s and 40s. Now, is that due to other causes? We're not quite sure, but it is above the average number of people who get it. And then later on, we do know that they get neurodegenerative disease. They get dementia of a very nasty kind. And there is no doubt about this, and yet rugby is still saying there is no proof. And so I don't know what kind of proof rugby wants, but every time they're asked, what are you doing about the damage in Dan rugby? They're saying, we're doing more research. We are doing more research than any other sport in the world. And yet, when the research shows that there's an increase in this dementia in their ex-players, they say, oh, but that's just statistics. There's no proof. There's enough research to show we should be doing something about it.
And we do know, of course, that over the last number of years, rugby players have got faster and have got bigger, and that leads to a greater degree of impact. But what do you think then needs to be done to make players safer? Does it require rule changes or education? What is it?
It needs rule changes, and it needs them fast. And they've got to stop saying we're doing research and do some. And just to give you an example, you've just said it's huge impacts now. And the whole point of somebody's game, from watching somebody's internationals, is that the players just run at the man. They run at him, not try to run around him, not skill. The ruck, 10 yards, the people behind the back foot of the ruck, they should be 10 yards rather than in a line with it, you know. They shouldn't be using head impact at all in training. They should play less games. Maybe they should reduce the number of players on the field so that there are spaces for people to run at. This is what they should be doing there. And on the other side, the other thing is we've got to tell the players exactly what the problems might be for them, and then let them decide. If I'd been told them, I think I might still play, because we're talking about a small percentage. But we must tell them. This is what the NFL didn't. And in a class action, they had to pay $750 million because they didn't inform the players of what the problems might be.
And do you think that, I know there are a number of legal cases involving rugby players coming down the tracks, but do you think the sport then is going to become more exposed as time goes on?
Yes, it is. That's why they shouldn't wait. They should start making these changes and remove, without destroying the integrity of the game, you can't do that much, but they should do as much as possible in the ways that I've just sort of mentioned. They should get on with that now, and then if we fully inform the players, if they still decide to play, that's great. If parents decide they want their kids to play rugby, that's great. But we've removed the huge impacts on the brain as far as we can without destroying the game. And it'll still be a great game.
And as a doctor yourself, I mean, if a parent were to come to you and ask you for your advice as to whether or not they should allow their children to play the game as it stands at the moment, what would you say?
I'd say to them, but one of the things we're pretty certain about now is that these simple repeated knocks to the teenagers that don't cause concussion, but they probably reduce their cognitive thinking function for 2 or 3 weeks. And these kids are taking exams. So, you know, then I think it's probably got to be up to the parent, but they've got to be much more informed about what exactly it's doing.
What about people who say, look, rugby's a tough sport, you're going to take some knocks, you have to live with that, there are risks in everything, and you can't eliminate risk entirely. What do you say to those people?
You're quite right in what you say. It is a physical game and it involves risk, and so do a lot of other physical games, and so do a lot of the facets of life involve risk. But the two things we're doing is we're not ruling out and dropping the risks which aren't integrally part of the game. We can make it much safer, and then we can tell the players exactly where they stand on it.
And that was Dr. Barry O'Driscoll, former medical advisor to World Rugby, speaking to me earlier.